Before I invite First Choice and Wendy to come up and share with us, we do have a video to show. Yep.
What would you do if a life depended on you? When a human life is on the line, we go to great expense and willingly risk everything. God has placed within us the courage to go to heroic lengths to defend the weakest among us. Why? Because human life is made by God in His own image. It is precious and eternal, worth more than anything else on earth. And when a helpless life is threatened, it is worth defending. With the collapse of family and moral values, the most defenseless, the most helpless in our society is the unborn. Mothers have been convinced that abortion is their only choice. Fathers have been stripped of their right to protect their own children. Who will stand to defend the unborn? Who will speak God's truth into the brokenness and confusion? At the Pregnancy Clinic, we are taking the time to listen, the time to train, the time to be there when a frightened new mom doesn't know what to do. We tell confused parents the truth in love, showing them the life that is growing inside. We are there until and even after their baby is born. We stand on God's amazing promises and help prepare them for a better life, giving many the first glimpse of the love and forgiveness that God offers.
While I was doing nothing, a battle was raging and lives were being lost. I knew I had to do something. By giving up my time and resources, I am now standing for what I believe. Nothing could feel better than knowing I helped to save an innocent life.
While you may never have the chance to save someone from a burning building, you can help more than you imagine. What will you do to defend a life? Join us today, because every life is worth defending.
So I'd like to invite Wendy to come up, and before you start, can I pray for you? All right, let's pray. Father, we are thankful for this opportunity to hear from your servants. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, and that you would bless Wendy and her words, and anoint her, and may this be a time pleasing to you and encouraging and challenging to us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Boy, there's a lot more of you out there than when I first came in. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Wendy Merrill, and with me this morning is Ann Fauché. Ann volunteers at the Pregnancy Center alongside. And I just want to thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Your church has worked alongside of us since I've been involved with the Pregnancy Center, so at least for 8 years, you have been collecting money in the little baby bottles, which turns into helping to defend and rescue those who are most vulnerable. So thank you so much for your diligent commitment to defending life, and I'm just thrilled to be able to be here this morning. This is one of the things that I love about what I do, is getting to worship with brothers and sisters in different churches around Central Maine. Before I get into, I'm gonna tell you four things. Number one, who we are. Number two, why we exist, what we do, and how you can help. But before I get into that, I want to address something. Because anytime there is a gathering of people of this magnitude, there are some sitting here who have had an abortion. And I can say that with confidence, because across the board, statistics tell us that one out of every three women has had or will have an abortion before they turn 40. So it's pretty certain that there are a handful of women in here who have had an abortion. And on the flip side, there are some men who have been involved in an abortion, either by encouraging such a thing, and also maybe some moms, or, you know, maybe you didn't know what to do. Maybe you took your your daughter to the abortion clinic not knowing what else to do. So I want to address that first, because if that's you, you're probably sitting there and your heart is racing and you really probably want to just get up and leave. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for every sin, every sin. There's no one sin that he didn't die to pay the penalty for. So I want to encourage you in that. I don't want you sitting there in shame and guilt and condemnation. That's what our enemy does. So I want to free you from that. I want to make it that you are able to hear what I'm saying this morning. And I'll talk more later about what we do to help men and women come out of that guilt and shame and to be freed so they can minister the way God wants them to. So who are we? First Choice Pregnancy Center actually has been around for a very long time. Last year we celebrated our 25th anniversary, so we began in 1992. We are governed by a board of directors. I am the executive director. We're located on Kennedy Drive here in Waterville. And we are affiliated with an organization called CareNet. Now, CareNet is a national organization that equips and trains pregnancy centers to go out and minister to help save the lives of the unborn and minister truth in their communities. Are you aware that there are 2,300 pregnancy centers across the country? We outnumber abortion clinics 3 to 1. So there are 3 times as many pregnancy centers in this country as our abortion clinics. Now, 95% of people know where their nearest abortion clinic is. They know where they can go to get an abortion, but only 50% of people know where the nearest pregnancy center is. So we have a lot of work to do in our own community to get the word out that we exist and what we do. I've been involved actually for 10 years. I volunteered for 2 years, and I've been the director for the last 8. I'm a Maine girl, married. We've been married coming up on our 33rd anniversary. We've lived in Benton this entire time in the exact same house, which is kind of funny because when we first moved in, it was just my husband and I, and now we have grandbabies coming in. And so it's a real blessing, and I'm thankful to be part of this community. I told you I was going to tell you why we exist. You know, what's the point? Why do we exist? Well, you may or may not be aware that every single day in America, 3,000 babies are ripped apart and suctioned from their mother's womb. The place that is supposed to be the safest place on earth is now the most dangerous place for babies to be. If there was any other event going on that 3,000 people were being killed every single day in the U.S., do you think that there would be a huge outcry? Do you think that there would be like people screaming from all over the place? All we need to do is think about 9/11. You know, there were 3,000 people that were killed in the Twin Towers, and that was absolutely horrific, and I don't want to downplay that at all. But it's happening every single day. It's an atrocity. God tells us in Exodus 20:13 that we are not to murder. We shall not murder. What is murder? The shedding of innocent blood. How much more innocent can you get than one that's in the womb? And by the way, just a little side note, I know for years people have been told it's not a baby, it's just a blob. It is so not true. The scientists have known since the late 1800s that life begins at conception. When that sperm and egg unite, you are everything you're going to be. Everything. Your eye color is already determined. Your hair color is already determined. Your sex is already determined. Even whether you're going to, you know, be musically inclined or sports inclined or whatever, it's all determined. or hopeful. And I heard some Patriots talk earlier on, too. I did watch that game. It was a good game. So God tells us to not murder. Do you know the only people in the United States that are concerned about babies being killed in the womb are followers of Christ? You know, God tells us to feed the hungry and to care for the homeless. The world does that. You know that? All kinds of community organizations take care of that. And I'm certainly not opposed to helping doing that. But we are the only ones who step up to the plate to defend the most vulnerable. Murder means that we're shedding innocent blood. There's a, I believe it's called a syllogism. That was a new word to me this last year. For those of you who have great college education, that might be a surprise to you. But nonetheless, I never heard that word before. But it goes like this. Shedding innocent blood is wrong. Abortion is shedding innocent blood. Therefore, abortion is wrong. Humans, what's the big deal about humans? You know, there's all kinds of animal rights activists and all that stuff, and you see the commercials and it breaks your heart, this poor little puppy. And, you know, I love animals. I own a bunch of animals. But I always think, man, what about the babies? What if we did commercials like that? What if we did, you know, show these little babies in the womb? What if we did that? I mean, humans. Humans have intrinsic value. We have value simply because God created us, simply because we are made in his image. Right? God says that we're made in his image. He tells us that he has known us, and I can't wrap my brain around this, but he tells us that he knew us before the foundation of the world. And I don't get that. That's beyond my comprehension. How did God know us before he even formed the world? I don't get it, but he did. So we have intrinsic value simply because we're made in God's image, not because we're anything special or anything, simply because we're made in his image. We have equal value. It doesn't matter our skin color. It doesn't matter our height. It doesn't matter our IQ. It doesn't matter where we're born. It doesn't matter where we happen to be in human development. It doesn't matter if it's at conception or a fetus or an infant or a preschooler or a on and on teenager to mature to elderly. It doesn't matter. We all have value at no matter what stage in life we're at. We have exceptional value. What makes us so special? Well, you know the Bible. That God said, you know, he made the heavens and the earth, and he made the animals and the plants and all that, and he said that was good. But then when he made man, what did he say? It is very good, very good. So above all of creation, humans, to God, we have exceptional value. So we have intrinsic value, we have equal value, we have exceptional value, and we also have eternal value. You know, God created us for an eternal relationship with him. We're pretty important to God. I don't know why. I know me. There's nothing special about me. I'm a sinner saved by grace just like the rest of you. So God calls us to not murder, but he calls us not only to not murder, but in Deuteronomy 21:7-9, he calls us not to passively accept the killing of innocents. Now we're talking about how we need to be involved. Because you might say, well, Wendy, I never was involved in that. I never believed in that. Okay, but God calls us to not stand by and watch it. He calls us to proactively and directly rescue the innocent. In Proverbs 24:10-11, he says, rescue those who are being led away to slaughter hold back those who are stumbling toward death. And by the way, the women who have an abortion, I've never yet met a woman who was excited to go get an abortion. I've met plenty of women who feel like they're trapped. They feel like they don't have any other choices. That's why the terminology is so incredible, pro-choice, because in reality they feel like they have no choice. So when they come to us, we discuss other options. We discuss what they can do. We're honest with them. We tell them their options, and in this world, having an abortion is an option, but we also give them information about abortion. You know how many women I've talked to that didn't have a clue what they were going into when they went to have their abortion? You know, all they wanted to do was to pretend like it never happened. They want it to just be over and for life to go back the way it was. But you know what? Life never goes back the way it was. Because God created women to be nurturers. And once you're pregnant, you are a mom. So it matters whether you're the mom of a live, thriving baby or you're the mom of a baby that is no more. So we're to rescue them. We're to do what we can. And I'm not one of those that are for, like what you were talking about, holding up those grotesque signs. And I know that's a reality. That's a reality of what's going on. But I think that women might be drawn a little bit more by seeing what their baby is going to grow into. A laughing, roly-poly little toddler. A mouthy teenager. But then that one that goes beyond that and finally thinks that you know what you're talking about. See, I've been through all those stages with our kids. God calls us to rescue the weak and the needy and to deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The enemy, Satan, is the one who is behind all of this, who wants to destroy what God intended. He always wants to do that. And you know, when we're talking about women having an abortion, this finally came to me somewhere along the way. It's not just the baby that's the target. It's not just that the enemy wants to destroy that baby. He wants to destroy that mom as well. And he wants to destroy that dad. So God tells us, don't take innocent life. He tells us don't stand by and watch it happen, and he tells us to do something to stop it. So what does First Choice do? What do we do on a day-to-day basis? Number one, everything we do is absolutely free to those that come into our center, and it's free because of people like you who support us. We offer free pregnancy tests. We offer free ultrasounds. We offer parenting classes for both moms and dads. We offer options counseling when somebody finds out, oh my goodness, I'm pregnant, what am I going to do? We offer items to help moms and dads, like diapers and wipes and you know, little cute baby clothing and outfits and car seats and all that kind of stuff. And when they come to the parenting program that we call Earn While You Learn, they get to earn points that they can go into our baby boutique and purchase. Now, we set that up like that because we know that it's much better for somebody when they get something because they've done something for it rather than just a handout. Don't get me wrong, we do emergency assistance. If somebody calls and says, we're out of diapers, we're not going to get whatever until 2 weeks from now, we will give, and we do it happily. But you know what we get to say to them when they earn these points and when they come into our boutique and they go, wow, look at all of this stuff. Look at, this is really nice stuff. And we get to say, you know what? There's people in our community who care about you, who care about your babies, and they work, and the money that they earn, they choose to spend on you and your babies because they care about you because God loves them. So we also do post-abortion healing. And for the women, we do healing and forgiven and set free. And for the men, it's called Healing a Father's Heart. And I'm so glad to, like all the, every one of the songs that we sang this morning talked about the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. One woman that came through our post-abortion study, she was forced to have an abortion when she was a teenager. She was 70 years old when she came to us. And she, after the end of the study, she said to me, she said, Wendy, I mean, she was literally like crying, and she said, I never knew. And I said, well, what didn't you know? And she said, I never knew there was such freedom to be had in Jesus Christ. So this woman, she had lived under shame and guilt and condemnation her entire life, and it wrecked havoc with how she saw herself. So she had issues with alcohol and had issues with relationships, and she was estranged from her own children, and she was estranged from I don't know how many husbands she had had. But it skewed her view, and that's exactly what the enemy intended to happen. So the ultrasounds, what are we doing with the ultrasounds? We're so thankful in 2014, the Lord provided an ultrasound machine for us. And you might think, well, why do you do that? Because statistically speaking, 90% of women who see their baby choose life for their baby. And 50% that just come in and we sit down and talk with, only 50% choose life. So our ultrasound is run by nurses who have been trained. And it's called limited obstetrical ultrasound, so we only look for three things. We look for making sure there's a heartbeat. We make sure that the baby is in the uterus where it's supposed to be, not an ectopic pregnancy. And we look for gestational age. Last year, we have a banquet in the fall, and one of the moms who chose life for her baby after seeing her baby on the ultrasound came to our banquet. And what a glorious time it was. And she brought him, he's now 2 years old and running all over the place, and she cannot thank us enough. So I want to pass that on to you. Thank you from her. Because the checks that you give and the coins that you give and the prayer that you pray all make that happen. Just a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, maybe a month ago now, it was before Christmas, I got a call one morning. I was in the office by myself. No one had come in yet. And I just had this sense like, this is going to be a woman who wants an abortion. That doesn't always happen, but that particular morning I had that sense in my heart. And sure enough, the first thing she said is, how much does an abortion cost? I think I want to have an abortion. And I said, you think you want to have an abortion? And she said, yes. And so I told her immediately, we do not perform, nor do we refer for abortion, but we do have information here for you, information about your options, information about what abortion is and what it does. And then there was silence, and she said, well, I guess I need to just call someone that does perform abortions. And I said, now wait a minute. Where are you? What's happening in your life? And she disclosed some personal things. And she said, so I asked her, I said, have you ever had an abortion? No. Do you know anybody who has ever had an abortion? And she said, yes, a couple of my friends. And I said, well, what do they say about it? And she said, well, they told me that the procedure itself wasn't all that horrific. It's the regret afterwards. And I said, now, wait a minute. These friends are telling you that they regret having their abortion, but they're telling you it's a good idea for you to have one. And she said, yeah. Well, she couldn't come into the pregnancy center because of the hours that she worked and all that stuff, but by the time we hung up, She was in tears, and she said, I needed to hear what you had to say today. I'm so glad that I called the wrong number, because she thought she was calling an abortion clinic. And so immediately I put out to our prayer partners, you know, there's this woman, she's in this quandary. She's thinking about having an abortion. She doesn't want one, but she thinks it's what she has to do. So I got permission to call her back, and that following Monday I called her back, and I just said, you know, hey, how are you? What's going on? And she said, I can't go through with having an abortion. I'm going to keep this baby. And I was like, yes, yes. So we didn't even see her. But the mere fact that we exist, the fact that we could answer that call, made all the difference in the world. You know, it's not just that baby that's being saved. It's the mom's heart, and it's the future generations. Do you ever think about the generations that are cut off when just one abortion happens? You know, we're together with my family. My parents have four daughters, and then from us there were 11 grandchildren. And so my parents are now passed on, but I was with all my sisters, and the majority of our children and then their children. And so there are now, from our children, like 15 children with four more on the way, and we're not done yet. Well, I am, but they're not, you know. So, you know, if like just one of us wasn't here, that whole thing would never happen. You know, if my mom had been aborted, the four daughters wouldn't have existed, and those 11 grandchildren and those 15, 19 great-grandchildren and however many more are to come. So this is an important issue. So who are we? Why do we exist? What do we do? I can wrap up real quick and tell you what we do. We do is love. That's our heart, is to love whoever said we want to love others the way Jesus loves. That's what we do. That is our goal. It's not condemnation. It's not like, how dare you? How could you even think of such a thing? That's not us, okay? So to wrap up, what can you do to help? You know, this week I was reading in Nehemiah, and I was reading about the wall being built around Jerusalem. And what I noticed in there is that every single person, they were building a portion of the wall that was right next to their house. It was only a small portion that each person did. So I'm not asking you to do what I do. I'm not asking you to, I don't know. I don't know what God wants you to do, but I know he wants you to do something. You can take a baby bottle. You can put your change in it. You can write a check. You can do that, which is fantastic because every ministry needs money to operate. We can't operate without that. We get no state or federal funds or anything like that. So you can do that. You can become a prayer partner. I fully, fully, fully believe that the prayers we pray start in the heart of God. He wants us to be involved. You know, he doesn't need us. He tells us that he delights to use us. It's not that he needs to use us. He invites us to be part of what he's doing. And being a prayer partner, what does that look like? You sign up, you give us your email, I add you to our email, whatever, people call it e-blast, whatever. And when there's urgent prayers, we send that out and you get to be part of praying for that woman, that baby, that dad. You can serve. You can be a volunteer. You can be a board member. Ann's been a volunteer and board member, so you can talk with her. What's that look like? And one of the things that I think is most important is that we, as the body of Christ, we open our mouth. So often I think we don't open our mouth because we are afraid that we're going to say something wrong. Wrong. offer hope to those who are hopeless. You are right. You are standing on the right side of an issue. Even though it looks like every one of us have been in situations where it looked like life was going to totally unravel, where we didn't think that we can do one more thing, where we couldn't see anything good coming out of the situation. But we've all lived through those, and we've all looked back and go, wow, I didn't know God could do that. So that's what we do, is offer that hope. I know the situation looks bleak, but there's better times coming. So open up. One voice can make all the difference in the world. When you speak truth, the one voice can be heard among all the other din that's going on, all the lies that are being told, because truth resonates in our heart, because God wrote truth on our hearts. And it doesn't matter if we're a follower of him or not, God still wrote truth on our heart. So, baby bottles are out there. And one thing we're doing today, we brought a big baby bottle. If you're like, yeah, I want to give, but I'm so busy, I don't want to take a bottle home and fill it with change and then remember to bring it back and all that. For those of you, we have a big baby bottle out there. You can just put money in it today if you want to. So again, I just want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for being a defender for life. And I want to thank you for leading this pack in that. God bless you all. Ann and I both will be in the back if you want to talk, chit-chat, whatever. Thanks. God bless you.
This is out there as well. When you go back, when, notice how I said when, not if, you go back into the foyer and say hello and thank them for coming. This is your free gift about CareNet, 10 things not to do when a woman tells you she wants an abortion. I don't think there's anyone in here that doesn't need to have that type of real world wisdom. And so again, thank you for sharing with us. We will be praying and we'll have baby bottles for you. And you know what? I always say too much, so I'm not going to say anything now. So let's pray before we sing our final song. Father, we just thank you that we have been given life from you. And so, Lord, we just continue to lift up First Choice and the volunteers and Wendy and the board and ask that you would continue to grant them wisdom and opportunities as they serve and as they love. Wendy is so right when she says, what do? We do love. And Lord, we hope that we can, as a church, can do love as well. We love brokenly. We love as broken people that are restored through your Son. We don't get it right every time, but you are gracious to lead and change. And so, Lord, we do look forward to the day of light that you are bringing for when life will be eternal in this world, and your light has dawned through your church. So help us to bring the light into the darkness through First Choice, through our ministry, and through the hands and feet of your people as we love those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.